Let's go back to 1 Samuel. It's amazing how the study led us to 1 Samuel, and it seems like Sunday morning and Sunday night we're hitting 1 Samuel. It's interesting how God reinforces and drives things home, isn't it? Because if there's ever a place in Scripture where I think it drives home the point of obedience, it's with Saul. It really is with Saul. There are other men that fell, but Saul was told exactly what to do, and he didn't do it. He did part of it, but he didn't do it. And I remember when I was a kid, my dad would be very specific about something that he wanted done. And I seemed to be able to get some of it done the way dad wanted it done. But there was always those parts where something came up or whatever that just delayed me or distracted me and didn't get it done the way dad wanted it done. So consequently, I suffered the consequences. And here, the same thing happens with Saul. He suffers the consequences for his disobedience. And let's just look at that in 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Apologize if I'm a little disjointed, disconnected tonight, or seem a little distant. I spent the afternoon with Janice, and I'll get into that at the prayer time. So you know where my heart and mind is. I can't help it. I've been trying to focus, and it's just not coming, you know. It's just not happening. So the Holy Spirit will take care of it. We'll get through this part of the service tonight, but it's like that's where my mind and my heart is. It really is. It's looking into her face and talking to her. So pray for me, and then we'll pray for her, okay? But because we still need the Word of God, and that's extremely important. In verse 11 of chapter 13, Samuel, who was the greatest judge of all time with Israel, he was the last judge and the greatest judge. He was the most godly judge of all the judges. And many of them, God had to work with what he had to work with. I believe a perfect example of that would be Samson. But here Samuel, very different. A heart after God, a heart after obeying the voice of the Lord. And here Samuel says to Saul, after Saul made sacrifice and wouldn't wait, he says, and Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, and here's Saul's reason for not waiting on God. Because at the end of the day, that's what he didn't wait on. It wasn't Samuel so much. It was God. The command that Samuel had given to Saul, the instructions and the directions that he had given to Saul were from the Lord. And when God speaks to us out of his word, It's not men that we're obeying or not obeying. It's God at the end of that sentence. And here Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me." I saw people scattered. The first problem was the eye. The second problem that we looked at was that he used his eyeballs. He used a physical gait to make a spiritual decision. We cannot do that. We cannot use our physical being in order to make spiritual decisions. If we do that, we're usually going to make the wrong decision. The emotion, that is a part of your soul. That is a part of you, but it's also a part, so to speak, of the physical whole of you. To make decisions based on emotions is wrong as well, because the spiritual part of us, that is the part that needs to lead the way. Now, granted, you know, we had this thing that we used to talk about in law enforcement. What's your gut telling you in a situation? And most of the time, you went with your gut, didn't you, Matt? Because your gut was usually right. But when it comes to spiritual things, is your gut right? Sometimes it might be. But what you have to do is you have to combine that with the spiritual side. What is the Holy Spirit telling me about this? What is the Word of God telling me about this? What is godly counsel telling me about this? What are circumstances telling me about this? And you put all those together. Another thing, don't ever use either as a determinator or the primary determinator in making a decision is circumstances. Circumstances can be really bad, can't they? And we can look at circumstances and go, you know what? We just can't do this. Or we can do this. And even though circumstances are saying one thing or another, that can't be the sole determining factor in our obedience to God. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and circumstances. Now, God can line up circumstances to work for us, but who else can line up circumstances? Let me tell you, Lucifer's good at lining up circumstances. I can tell you that. He's good at it. He can make it, look, he's the master deceiver, has had thousands of years of experience, knows how to deceive, lead, and guide in the wrong direction. And if anyone can set up circumstances to lead you astray and make it look good, because that's what happened here. Saul looks at the circumstances and Satan lined it up. So Saul would say, I can't wait any longer. When he just had to wait a little bit longer. And he didn't do that. I saw people scattered. Look at Psalms chapter 31. I'm just going to use a couple verses here because I want to move on to a couple more. Psalms chapter 31. People. Man. Men. It's not hard in the present situation to not trust in 60 miles down this highway, is it? It's not really hard for us to do right now. I mean, it would be really hard to look that way and say, yeah, that's the way we need to go. I'm putting my trust in Washington, D.C. You know? No. Same thing with who? The World Health Organization, you know. Back during COVID, Lucifer lined it up so that everybody would look to who and say, even Christians, and say, that's the thing that we need to do. No, absolutely not. People, I see people scattered. Man, men. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them. Oh, how great. We say, how God is good. Okay? God is good. The goodness is laid up for them with a condition. Is it not? Yes. God's goodness is laid up for them who, what? Fear Him. Fear Him. Fear Him. Put Him over who? Washington. Whoever it is. Put God first in our lives. Perfect example. Right next door. These people have put their faith and trust in a convention or in a leadership hierarchy that, by the way, they haven't pulled out. I know the real deal. They haven't pulled out. They're not going to pull out. They're not going to pull out. I've talked to a couple people on the inside. They're going to change the church name to take United Methodist off. But according to what I heard from a source inside, they're still going to be a part of that because they passed the deadline of December 31st, 2023 to pull out. There is no pulling out. There is no pulling out. What have they done? They've put their trust in people. And if you, and don't do this, don't watch it. It'll make you want to go to the bathroom and heave. But I watched that vote that they had. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I thought I was down in the Haight-Ashbury region of San Francisco watching a Methodist vote. That's what I thought. And that's who you're looking up to? That's who you're putting your faith and trust in? You're putting your faith and trust in that? And denomination after denomination in America has fallen because they have put their faith and trust in men who have left the Bible. Left the Bible. That's what they've done. And sadly, I wish I could say otherwise. And I hope I'm wrong. I honestly do, but I fear that I'm not. Men, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now, I don't know that this is in front of the sons of men, because it doesn't say that, does it? It says before the sons of men. So what is he saying here? He's saying, put your trust in God, not in the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from what? The pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Saul saw the people scattered. His faith, his trust in winning this battle was in men. America's in a spiritual battle for its spiritual life. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to put any faith and trust in the preachers of America. I can't. Because most of them are turning. Most of them, even guys I knew and loved and were my friends and supported me all those years on the mission field and sent me things and sent me encouragements and supported our ministry. And when I first went with them, they were good, solid churches who stood on the King James Bible and had the wonderful hymns of the faith and preached the Word of God and had the standards that went along with that and stuck to the truth of the Word of God. And I'm shocked today by what I see from some of them. They're falling away quickly. Men are falling away. But God is faithful. And if we keep our faith and trust in Him, we cannot go wrong. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Everybody knows this verse. Like, this is a good verse. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. There's no misinterpreting this verse. There's a lot of talk today about, well, that's how you see it. Well, you know what? There are some verses where you just, no matter what you say, there is no how you see it. The verse is just right in your face. And this one says this, thus saith the Lord. Well, there's your first clue. Thus saith the Lord, verse 5, chapter 17 of Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Isn't it not true that Saul, in a sense, I don't want to call him cursed, but I tell you right now, the blessing of God left Saul, didn't it? Yeah. The blessing of God left Saul, and it left Saul because he put his trust in man. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and who maketh flesh his arm. In other words, brothers and sisters in Christ, where does our strength come from? Where does our strength? And if you were to ask the world that, you'd get a totally different answer than what you're going to give me. Because I can, in a sense, put trust in this assembly. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Okay? So I'm not talking about us, even though we can disappoint and hurt each other. Okay? But I will say this. There's a difference between me trusting in man and me trusting in you. Why? Because we are one body, fit together, joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, who maketh flesh his arm. People that are laying in a terminal ward right now, in a terminal state right now, let me ask you something. What did they have? If they don't have God, and this is exactly what I said to Javis today, If they don't have God, what do they have? They have nothing, because all they have in that terminal ward is morphine. And that eventually is given to them in such a dose to put them to sleep forever. Only they're not going to sleep, are they? No. Christians sleep, but the world dies. Then they have to die again at the second death. No. There's no hope from man. And we go to the doctor, and we all have to go occasionally, and we get procedures, and we get medication given to us. But at the end of the day, at the end of the line, in the terminal ward, is there, you know what the doctor comes in and says? He said exactly this to my father-in-law. There is nothing more I can do for you. And you know what? That's pretty final, ain't it? Because up until that point, my father-in-law thought that man was going to make him better with all that radiation and chemo. And you know what? At the end of the day, when the time ran down, the doctor said, there's nothing more I can do. But I trusted in you. Yeah. Yeah, that trust better be somewhere else then, shouldn't it? But you know, there's so many people laying in these hospitals in that very state. No hope. No hope. Waiting to go out into the darkness. The only last light they're ever going to see is that great big light above their bed. Sadly. I'm glad that's not where my hope is. Hey, listen, I got a cardiologist. I like the guy. We joke around every time I'm there. I like the guy. But at the end of the day, he ain't going to keep me alive no longer than God wants me to be. Ain't enough pills made to keep me alive longer than God wants me to be. Ain't enough procedures left to keep me alive longer than God wants me to be. Because when it's my appointment day, at my appointed hour, I'm going to glory. And my trust is in God. That I'm settled on. That I'm settled on. No worries there. Not for this guy. And maketh flesh his arm. And notice what happens when you trust man and make flesh your arm. What does it do? It does exactly what happened to Saul. You'll depart from the Lord. You say, I can't do that as a Christian. Oh, yes, you can. You can quench the Holy Spirit, kick him into a back room, slam the door, turn the key, lock the door, and run things. But stand by. Stand by.
Yes, sir.
Because with me on the throne, trusting man, the Bible says, I'm cursed. I'm cursed. I don't ever want to be in that situation. Ever. Verse 6. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then it's interesting. In that context comes the next verse. Isn't that something? You know, we grab that verse out of context so much, we don't know how to use it in its context. Okay? But its context is trusting in men. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Trusting in men. That's where that verse is rooted. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, don't listen to Disney. Whatever you do, don't follow your heart. Look at Psalms 118. Let's go back to Psalms. Finish this part maybe with David. Psalms 118. Let's just get the context of this one too. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy. Why is he good? Well, he's good because his mercy endureth forever. That's why he's good. He's not good just to be good. He's good because he's merciful. Because we don't deserve any good. Nobody does. We're all sinners. But his mercy is there. Wow. Because his mercy endureth forever. Now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's another good verse there when it comes to people, our concern. Let's keep going. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord, what's it say now, than to put confidence in man. You will never go wrong. You know, there have been several times in my life, and even during my ministry in Canada and during my ministry here, where I have considered seeking counsel. And there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. And I would strongly advise that if there is something that just seems to perplex you, that you do seek counsel, but it's got to be the right kind. It's got to be the right kind, and it's got to be from the right person. Christian, don't seek counsel from a carnal Christian unless you want carnal advice. I've done that. Don't seek counsel from a carnal Christian if you don't want carnal advice. If you seek counsel from a Christian who you see as someone strong, very strong in the area that you're seeking counsel about. Because we all have strengths and weaknesses. Administrative stuff. Don't come ask me about it. It is a weak part of my life. And if I didn't have her, I would lose my mind probably. She's stronger in that area with that organizational stuff. We all have strengths and weaknesses. There's areas in my life that spiritually I'm strong in, and there's areas in my life where I'm weak. And I'll be honest with you, if you came to me and asked me counsel in a weak area, I'd have to say, you might want to ask somebody else about that. Or I may point you, go to this one about that. All right? And there are other areas where, I'll tell you what though, this will never go wrong, will it?
It's always wrong.
And it's all there. It's all there. But this thing of counsel, it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. I strongly suggest at times to get counsel. And you know what I've found? There have been times where I was considering seeking counsel, praying to God at the same time, almost acting on something. Thankfully, I waited. What are we talking about? Waiting. And you know what God did? He answered the prayer. I didn't have to go get the counsel. And it worked. But who did it? See, I couldn't say that, well, that guy gave me great counsel and now it all works, so I give it all the credit to him. No, God took the credit because God's the one that did it. Sometimes, too, with this wait. Just let God, give God a chance. That doesn't mean you don't get godly counsel. It really doesn't. But at the same time, give God a chance as well. Don't put your confidence in men. Don't put your trust in men. Man will fail you. Saul watched his entire army melt into the woods. Men he had put confidence in, men he trusted, were hiding in the rocks in the holes like rabbits, scared rabbits, when God was going to fight that battle. I saw people scattered next week. I saw people scattered. Let's pray.